This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Just looking at the weather here for some of the NFL games today. 11 o'clock hour on this NFL Sunday. We will have Chargers and Chiefs for you from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, whatever the hell they call Arrowhead Stadium. Gia Field, pardon me for the folks that work at Gia. Is that right? Anyway, from Kansas City, Chargers and Chiefs. That's a 1 o'clock kick, and we'll take you to 12:30 in the pregame coverage from Westwood One here. Just looking at the weather on some of these games, the Bears and Browns are going to play at Soldier Field in Chicago. The anticipated wind chill, well, it says 8 degrees at kickoff with wind chill of about 5 below. Bengals are hosting the Ravens in Cincinnati, 9 degrees, estimated wind chill about 0. And Chiefs are going to play the Chargers in that game. 17 degrees wind chill at 5, and then the Patriots and Bills in Foxborough, it's going to be around 30, 32 degrees, but a possibility of snow in that game. So it's winter football right now in the NFL, that's for certain. And winters come early to the north, but some really chilly games today. You got to be a hearty, Noelle, you got to be a hearty soul. And I know they're you know, big game certainly for the Bears today because of the loss to the Packers. They have to win that game. But my daughter's in Chicago. She's probably not, where she lives is probably not 3 miles from Soldier Field. And she lives in the West Loop. So anyway, I said, are you going to go to the Bears game? She said, no, I'm not going to go. I might go next week for the Packers game, but it's too cold. She goes, I'm not that hardy. I went, I don't blame you. You got to be a hardy soul to want to stand in Soldier Field in like -5 wind chill to watch a football game. I've never done that. Have you?
I could not. No, I can't handle 30 degrees. So that's out for me.
The coldest game I was ever at was actually at Fulton County Stadium. We were playing the Niners once, and it was like 39 degrees and raining. And I had to be on the field with the camera guy, with the camera guy, listen to me, the photographer, and I had a poncho on, but it was just constant light rain, drizzled, occasional heavy rain, but it wasn't cold enough. It would have been far better had it snowed because my shoes got wet and it was windy and it was 39 degrees and the wind chill was probably in the 20s and it was water and it just to the bone. I mean, it was like, oh, you know, what's the coldest game you've ever been in? 39 degrees. How is that the coldest? Because you just got soaked and chilled to the bone. I mean, teeth chattering cold for 3 hours. I mean, it was just awful. And then the Falcons didn't win. Of course not. So today we're talking at 404-726-0929, having conversations with you on a Sunday morning about the Hawks, you know, and they play tonight. Coverage begins at 5:30 of the Hawks and 76ers. Trae Young returning this week. What do you ought to do here in terms of how you're going to handle the return of Trae Young when he does come back? He's going to be practicing this week, so we'll see maybe in the next couple of weeks if he returns to the lineup. And I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, let's see how this kind of goes to the trade deadline with him kind of working his way back into the team. I agree that Kristaps Porzingis probably needs to just go because I don't buy – I'm sorry, I'm not buying the whole illness thing. I'm just not. I think the illness is Kristaps Porzingis saying, I don't want to be here. And I think they're just looking to ship him, you know, try and get rid of him. I mean, he's on expiring anyway. We thought he'd come here and it'd be kind of fun and he could light it up for us and be a real help. Instead, he's just been a burden. And so he can go. And then we're, of course, talking a little bit about the Braves and their offseason, getting guys like Gostremski and Suarez. Let's see how, if they can get a night shift going with, you know, Suarez 789 in there, figure this all out here, you know, what Walt Weiss wants to do. You know, Tom Hawkins' question about who had the – look, I'm going to chalk the Braves up last year as a one-off, okay? Hopefully they stay healthy this year. We get that rotation going. The team gets a lineup that stays, you know, intact. We get more out of the growth of Michael Harris and Drake Baldwin. We get Ozzie to return to his former self. We get Austin Riley to return to his former self. We get Acuna to return to whatever he's going to be moving forward. We get Olsen. I mean, look, the team's got talent, right? We all understand this. They're a loaded team with a lot of talent. They can win 100 games. They just have to stay healthy and perform. The Falcons, on the other hand, are a team that underperformed. And they underperformed, I think, less due to injury and more due to improper handling. I don't think they were handled correctly, which means that there's got to be changes in the offseason. But again, when you become the first team in the history of the NFL to come from behind, down 14 points in a game, by the way, on the road, but that has nothing to do with the stat, from 14 points down in the fourth quarter, by the way, in the final 10 minutes, to win a game in regulation where you're down 14 with at least 14 penalties called on your team. Never happened before in the history of the NFL until Thursday night. That's the kind of game and kind of fourth quarter performance you go, man, that's a pretty good football team. Notwithstanding the fact that the Buccaneers did it to themselves. And by the way, the Buccaneers are falling apart. They've lost back-to-back home games to the Swampers and to us. That's like their own version of a collapse going on. Get this. What you want a stat? Since Halloween, okay? Since Halloween, you know how bad the Falcons have been, right? Since they're 2-5. Falcons are 2-5 since Halloween. They have a better record since Halloween than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How about that? The Bucs are 1-5 since Halloween. The Falcons have a better record since Halloween than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Halloween! And yet the Falcons are eliminated. Are we running this thing back because there's going to be a false positive at the end of the year? 404-726-0929. That's my concern. Kirk Cousins is $57.5 million worth of quarterback. Is Penix going to be ready? There are things that we don't know, okay? We all have to understand that as we have these discussions going towards the offseason, going towards the draft, going towards free agency, unless the team comes out publicly and tells us, we're not going to know. Like, for example, we do not know the extent of Michael Penix's injury. Is it something where he can be back for training camp in July? Is it something that's going to linger into the season and they may not see him till midseason? Is it going to be something that might keep him out the rest of all of next season? Okay. Is it career ending? I mean, we don't know any of these things. Is he going to be able to come back? If so, and then on top of it, let's say that he can come back. Are you 100 that if he comes back and is 100 at some point, that he's going to get the proper schematics and the proper coaching to develop him into a true star quarterback? Because that's my thing. Almost setting aside his injury, I don't have any faith that he's going to be coached up to be the right kind of quarterback. None. That he's going to be schemed and coached up into the right kind of quarterback. Because now that you have Kyle Pitts, one of the reasons, you know, Kyle Pitts, you know, obviously with no Drake London, he becomes a focal point because who else would it be? Mooney? No. David Sills? Oh, I was so happy that David Sills caught that one pass to keep that drive alive at the end of the game because, man, that drop was so, so bad. Oh, my God, that drop. I felt, you know, I didn't feel bad for David. I felt bad for his family. I did. No, seriously. I felt bad for his family watching the game going, oh, no. You drop a wide open touchdown. Oh, no, David. Oh, no. And then he made a great clutch grab. And I was like, oh, thank God. Not only to keep the drive alive, but just for him. I was like real happy. And that was a great clutch catch, you know? So it was like, good. A little bit of redemption. And they won the game. So we're not focused on the fact that he dropped a wide open touchdown pass. I mean, he's not the first to do that. I mean, Mooney. Happens, right? But it was just a bad look. And he's trying to, you know, keep his job here. So, and I don't know that Drake is going to play the rest of the year. I mean, I said last week before the game against Tampa that if I'm Drake, I'm hobbling around Flowery Branch. No, I can't go. And the next week, not still on. And the following week, I still not. I basically shut it down because I don't want to take any chance. I'm making a business decision. And I don't blame anybody on this team for making a business decision. Like, for example, Kirk Cousins is making a business decision. He wants to play, and he wants to play well. He's motivated not by team goals, but by his own personal goals, right? Same with Kyle Pitts. Those two, they're like seeing eye to eye right now. Those two, hey, Kyle, you and me, we can make a lot of money in the offseason. You know, this is our business decision. Let's go out there and show everybody that they should pay us a lot of money to come to their team. So they're on the same wavelength. You know, it's about those two. Those two have nothing to do. They can jump up and down and celebrate in the locker room. They are just about themselves. They're combined. They're locked together, right? We talking language here? That's what they're about. Kirk and Kyle are about Kirk and Kyle. They're not about, why do you think he's being targeted? Why are we thinking running? I'm going to get you the ball. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make me look good. I'm going to make you look good. So, I mean, I think those two are about those two. And they're not about the team. And I'm not saying that that's, by the way, I'm not mad at them for that, okay? I'm just saying that's where I think they're at. So I'm not mad at anybody for making a business decision right now, and that's the decision that they're making. We're going to see a lot more of that next week. We're going to see Kyle Pitts targeted another 12 times because that's what they're about. Those two are trying to get, they're trying to get paid. So I think the Falcons will tag Kyle Pitts, but what do you do with Kirk Cousins? What do you do with the coaches? If they win four in a row and suddenly rip off wins against the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Swampers, is the brain trust going to sit around and go, hey, you see what we did with Kirk Cousins and how we finished the season? We could do that again. Let's just run this back. I think running it back is the exact wrong move. Somebody call Steve Koonin and ask about the Hawks' decision to run it back at some point where they went, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. Exactly. Run back what? 8 straight years without a playoff? That's what we're running back? Winning 4 games in a row after you've been eliminated and it doesn't matter and you're playing loosey-goosey because you've been eliminated? Are you concerned about that, or am I just overstating it on sports radio?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
92 on the game. 11:20 on a Sunday morning. From the Way Northern Kia Studios. I sent you that picture, Noel. Did you get it on your phone? Miss Noel? I can never tell. Remember, we're doing this remotely and I can't see her, so she may be answering phones. I don't know if she got it or not. Did you get the photo I just sent to you, texted to you? I don't know if you did or not. On your phone. Anyway,
that's some snow. It's so pretty though.
Oh, yeah. That's a photo right outside my Way Northern Kia studio. Maybe I should post that. The current wind chill here is minus 10. It's minus 10. yeah. Woo! Balmy. let's go to Mario here. It's as chilly here. Mario, it's as chilly here as it's going to be in the front office of... Flowery Branch here in about a month.
Yeah, man, I'm up in Dallas, Georgia, and the wind is about to tip my work van over, man. What's going on?
Yeah, hey. So, Mario, are we concerned a little bit about a false positive where they're going to sit around and talk about games that don't matter and how they did in games that don't matter and we should just run that back?
Yeah, man, I think Raheem is going to come back for a third year, man. I'm just fixing my mind. Getting prepared for it mentally, man. But my thing has always been, you know, I didn't have a problem with him coming back when he came back to be the head coach, but I've been scratching my head since he came back with 2 inexperienced coordinators. It just didn't make sense to me at all. Like, when you draft a quarterback and you sign one for $100 million, who's in his mid-30s. I don't know, man. I've been scratching my head ever since that move. Coming with your second opportunity to be a head coach, and you bring two inexperienced coordinators.
Well, they fired, what, two coaches like, now, right? During the season they fired?
Yes.
Well, before the season they fired Jimmy Lake, and then during the season they fired Ike Hilliard.
Yeah, and anybody with sight would see that Zach Robb is just, it seems so predictable. Teams just knew what we were doing all season. Like, I don't know, man. I've been scratching my head.
Which makes what Bijan has done, Mario, even more impressive. They know
even
it's coming
more
and they
impressive,
can't stop it.
Man.
Right.
Even more impressive. I'm like, I be pinching myself like, man, we really have one of the best players in the entire league. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's a
unicorn.
Yep. And well, now you see how good Kyle Pitts can potentially be.
Yeah,
well, it only took 5 years, but you see that and you go, where's that been?
Yeah, you see what he did with Matt his first year as a rookie.
Right.
And then all the quarterback carousel, and then it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't, to me, the OC and the quarterback problem is that's what I'm worried about, man, going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be really intriguing
quarterback
to see
and a guy who can ball
play. By the way, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mario.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I think you might be right. I mean, I'm bracing for Raheem to be back here. And look, I like Raheem a lot. I really wanted him to succeed.
And I think the guys in the locker room like him. You know, it's just some mistakes we make, man. We're just so undisciplined. Sometimes I don't know if I'm watching an NFL game or Pop Warner or Pee Wee. I don't know, man.
Yeah. I know.
I just feel like he should have more experienced guys around him. Like coming with these first year guys and play callers, and I don't even know what he was thinking, man. It's a second opportunity. Most guys don't get second opportunities to become a coach.
He bought his buddies from the Rams. He said, "Oh, these are my buddies. Let's go."
Yeah, Zach's gonna bring us out of this world offense.
Right.
Man, oh no. So I'm just preparing myself mentally for it, man, and just hopefully he just bring guys in that know what they're doing, man.
Do appreciate it. Thanks, Mario. Let's go to 404-726-0929. Line opens, and Mario's got a chance to weigh in here. Frank is here. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Well, Frank, if we weren't eliminated with 5 weeks to go in the year, I'd be doing better.
Hey, man, listen, I cannot believe this. Are people really, talking about Kyle Pitts after one game and Kirk Cousins? I mean, where was this at last week? I mean, it's only been a week since you got obliterated by the Seattle Seahawks. Well, where was Kyle Pitts then? Or even the week before that when Kyle Pitts was dropping passes against the Carolina Panthers? He has one game against Tampa. Now, all of a sudden, he's supposed to be the superstar that people are actually talking about the franchise tag. That would be probably as big or maybe a bigger mistake than the Hawks actually entertaining Anthony Davis. I mean, this has to stop. You will see next week when they play a team that's not in Florida. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, yes, they have a worse record, but I guarantee you Kyle Pitts is not going to light it up like he did last week. That was an anomaly. And then the offense still with all those mistakes, with people talking about bringing back Raheem Morris, I'm like, if Raheem Morris comes back, it's because Arthur Blank is not yet ready to get rid of Terry Fontenot. I think those two are married. And whenever Arthur Blank is ready to get rid of Terry Fontenot, that's when Raheem is gone. And maybe Arthur Blank is just too afraid to push the reset button. But, I mean,
well, I don't know. Wait, hang on. All right, so I'm going to go. I'm with you all the way to there. There's no reason to do a reset here. There's just four, and not my opinion, Frank, this is forward. This team has the talent next year to be they have the talent right now to be a 10-win team. There's no reason they can't be a 10 or 11-win team next year. All you have to do is, there's no reset here, to me, anyway.
Well, when I say reset, I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the administrative staff. So a new GM, a new coach, who can actually get these players to where they need to be, because I mean, all this year is one thing for the players not to execute, but every week I'm hearing people complaining about coaching, and that's the main complaint I'm hearing. I mean, you know, the coaching mistakes. Even the last game, the Falcons did everything they could to give that game away, even going for two when you didn't have to. I mean, you were just fortunate to win that game.
Oh, yeah, you were incredibly lucky. You set a record, you know, a franchise record for penalties in the game. You know, granted, most of them were earned, but still there were some that were like, really? You know, the one on Kirk Cousins for grounding when he gets smashed in the face and you don't call that. I mean, some of them were like, okay, whatever. The refs had a bad game too. But you overcame all of that. You still won the game. And that's what concerns me, is that you were able to do this to become, the first team in NFL history, to come from behind 14 points in the fourth quarter, did it in the last minute, 10 minutes on the road, win a game where you had at least 14 penalties. And they had 19. And so not only did they have 19, but let's talk about bad turnovers. I mean, one of the things we don't talk about, Frank, is, you know, the play that Ryan Neuzel made to save that one fumble. There were two fumbles that they recovered on their own that saved them. I mean, they were incredibly lucky to win that game.
Yeah, you won that game in spite of bad coaching. So
right.
That's what I would say. I'm
right.
Not giving credit to Ryan Morris.
I agree.
I'll give all the credit to Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts for that one. And
yeah,
the kicker.
Right. Zane Gonzalez making the field goal, and D. Alford making the great pick, and you guys, again, two fumble recoveries that could have destroyed you, that both were recovered by the Falcons. Neuzel made a great play to stick his nose in and get that fumble. You know, so, I mean, yeah, I'm with you, you know. I think if they got the right personnel in there to lead these guys and to coach them up the right way. But the question becomes, again, there's another question here, which is the quarterback situation. Are you willing to pay Kirk Cousins? Because we don't, again, Frank, you and I don't know what the quarterback situation is. We don't know what the health situation is with Michael Penix. Let's say for the sake of this discussion, just you and I right now, that Michael Penix will not be back next year. And if he is, he's only going to be back in the middle of the season. And you believe that the team can win as constructed. Are you going to spend $57.5 million to keep Kirk Cousins here and roll this whole thing back?
No, because Kirk Cousins is going to do that, and the Falcons aren't either. I mean, I hate to say it, but they're going to try to get somebody serviceable like a Jacoby Brissett or a Tyrod Taylor. I mean, somebody like that who's going to, you know, start the game for you, serviceable for quarterback who can help you win games, who's not going to make too many mistakes. But Kirk Cousins is going to be too expensive, and that bridge was burned when they refused to trade him. So,
yeah,
I mean that's my opinion.
You may be right. Again, everybody's opinion is logical here. You know, I mean, because we don't know. Because one of the things that I appreciate the call. I wish Nakia would call back. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. One of the things that's frustrating me right now, not just in being eliminated with 5 weeks to go and a team that should be far better than it is. Is that Flowery Branch has been in you know, radio silence. And, you know, I mean, I think they coming out and talking to us would, to me, would at least give us some, hey, listen, you know, but right now all we're getting is we'll make an evaluation at the end of the year, which just leaves us in limbo as to what that's going to be, which is why we're having the conversation we're having today. Let's go to Tycoon. Is it Tycoon or Tycon? Ty? Hello? Oh, we lost him? Okay. Who's next? Let's go to Dexter. Dexter is back next
to John, year. What's up, John?
Hey, Dexter, what up?
Not much, man. Sometimes I don't know what these callers be talking about the coaches ain't – I mean, the coaches are not the problem. But you got to think about it. Shoot. Miami. How many points we got in that Miami game, John, with Kirk Cousins? So if Kirk Cousins wasn't the problem then, and he won against Tampa Bay, what make that make sense?
No, I'm with you. I think that there ought to have been a change. I said after that debacle early in the year against Miami.
Yeah.
I think we're losing his phone there. Dexter, we're losing your phone. I said against, you know, I think anybody who heard that show the day after the Miami game that Carl and I did, I think I made it pretty clear. I would have made a move right then, and they didn't. And I said, save the season. Save the season now. Make the move. They chose not to. They didn't save the season. They had a chance to say, I think, at least a chance to roll the dice to save the season. They chose not to. They didn't save the season. The season went to hell. That's their choice. I would have made that. I would have made that move right then. I had enough just to say this isn't working. We have to try to save the season. I would have fired Raheem Morris right then, fired Zach Robinson, promoted Jeff Ulbrich to interim head coach, and asked Ulbrich who he wants as his OC. I would have called Matt Ryan. I said that on the air. I said I'd make Ulbrich the coach, and I'd call Matt Ryan and say, Matt, we need you. Need you to be the OC and quarterback coach. We need you to coach up Michael Penix right now. After that debacle. Actually, it was after the – I take that back. It was after the Carolina game. Not the Miami game. It was after the Carolina game. That I was that early in the year. I said, save the season now. And they didn't make the move. Then after the Miami game, I said, save the season now. They didn't make the move. They just waited. They just sat there and went, well, okay. I don't think that they're sitting around in Flowery Branch going, we don't care. But, boy, that's the way it came across. Well, we don't really care. So we'll just wait. Whether they like that in Flowery Branch or not, I'm saying that's how it – you have to understand how it comes across to those of us who are sitting on the outside when you say – and you say, well, John, you guys don't understand. Yes, we do. I understand that you got eliminated with 5 weeks to go. That's what I understand. So there's no you don't understand. You got eliminated with 5 weeks to go. Somewhere Arthur Smith is going, you know, I took ragtag and had him legit till after Christmas. And by the way, that's 100 – okay, that's 100. He's right on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
NFL Today, Chargers Chiefs from Kansas City. Our coverage begins at 12:30. So show me your lightning bolt. That'll be 12:30 Chargers and Chiefs from Kansas City today. The show me your lightning bolt's an old San Diego reference for anybody that knows me from the San Diego days. And we'll have coverage of that game. Hawks 76ers is 5:30 coverage tonight between the Hawks and 76ers. Trae Young due to be back in practice this week. Not playing, but back at practice, maybe a couple of weeks away from seeing him back on the court. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with this team and how they gel and how they mesh. Going to be very intrigued by putting Trae back into the mix here with Jalen and company. So we'll see how that kind of all works out here. I've given up, and I'm done with Kristaps Porzingis. If he doesn't want to play here, apparently he doesn't, then he can go. Just, you know, kick his butt out the door. If you don't – illness. Stop with the illness. Talking about that, talking also about the playoff start this week, Friday night, Alabama-Oklahoma, first playoff game. Going to be a lot of people interested in that game, and not just Alabama and Oklahoma fans or Indiana fans because they play the winner of that game. Going to be a lot of you know, like Notre Dame fans, Vanderbilt fans, a lot of fans of teams that were left out who are going to look at BYU fans who are going to look at Alabama and say, you better not get your clock clean because – you know, if Alabama gets, you know, plays bad and Oklahoma's defense shuts them down and Oklahoma beats them for a second time, you're going to get Notre Dame fans going, we should have been there. Mr. Yo says to me on the Twitter there, he says, my point here, the thrust of the show for me today, whether or not we're going to get a false flag in these meaningless games down the stretch, and they are meaningless because the Falcons have been eliminated with 5 weeks to go, that the assessment at the end of the year is going to be, well, you finished the season strong. Yeah, in meaningless games where you had nothing to lose, so you throw everything to the caution to the wind, doesn't matter, you've been eliminated. That it's going to be a false flag where they go, well, you know, we got to bring Kirk back and pay him $57.5 million. We got to bring Raheem back. Zach Robinson finally figured this out. We got to bring him back. We're going to tag Kyle Pitts. Mr. Yost says it's not a false flag. He disagrees, which is fine. He said, we, being the Falcons, lost a lot of close games, two in overtime, two because of missed kicks, one because of a last-second field goal. He says, I would retain Terry and Raheem. I'd extend or tag Pitts. Well, you can't extend him. You'd have to tag him or sign him to a new contract as free agent. His point is he thinks, you know, boy, if they just won some of these games. I ascribe to the theory of Bill Parcells, which is your record, you are what your record says you are. You're 5-9, and you were eliminated with 5 weeks to go. End of story. I subscribe, Mr. Yo, to the theory that if they had better coaching this year, they would not be 5-9. They might be 9-5. Talk about close games. Yeah, you got to win close games in the NFL. They lost a lot of close games because they, again, I think they've mishandled Michael Penix. That is my impression, that they have not run to his strengths. They have not coached him up right. They haven't taught him right. I contended before he got injured that he was no better a player than when he first set foot at Flowery Branch after being drafted out of UW, that he hadn't gotten any better. Now, some of that's on you to get automatically to seek to get any better, but I'm not sure that they coached him up, that they just kind of like, well, Kirk's our quarterback. We spent $100 million, and they threw him over on a practice field until they decided at the last, well, we better play him now, I guess. We drafted him, and this whole thing has been mishandled. You know, that's all on them. Yo, that's all on them. They own the fact that this team is 13-18 since Raheem showed up. That's on them. That's not a false flag. That's their record. Tone is with us. Tone, welcome to the show. What up?
What's going on with you, John?
Hey, man.
What's going on? Got a couple points I wanted to make. Try to keep it brief as possible. Start off with just the coaching staff in general. I just went to look up a couple stats, you know, just the records of the last 5 years. You know, we've been 7-10 since Arthur Smith and Dan Quinn, right? Last year, minus the debacle, well, at the debacle, we was 0.47 and win. You know, I mean, 0.71. You feel me? 0.71 win percentage. We haven't been past 0.450 in the last 5 years. And y'all want to get rid of a coach who's, I feel like he has a connection with the players. Fans, I feel like it's hearing, you know, hear it coming to go. But the players, I believe, hone in and, you know, respect Raheem. And this is just my last thing with the coaching. Dan Campbell's first 2 years, he had a losing season. Same thing with Kyle Shanahan. You have to let the team grow into a winning. You feel me? Like, we have to learn how to win. This team is a losing team. Sorry.
But all right, what do you do at quarterback? What do you do at quarterback?
One more time.
What do you do?
What would I do as quarterback? I want to win. I don't care about finances. It's not my money. I don't know why fans always get into the pocket.
Well, because Tone, hang on, stop. Tone. Here's why you can't. It's a salary. Tone, stop. There's a salary. All right, good. There's a salary cap. Right. If you spend $57.5 million to bring Kirk Cousins back, you got no money for anything else you want to do.
We have a young defense, first of all. I believe we got probably 4 to 5 picks in the draft this year.
No first-round pick.
We got no first-round. It's cool. It's first-round. We got a second, third, and I believe fourth. We can get a defense. We can get in a cornerback. Everything else can probably get seen in free agents for less than what? Probably $30 million.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. I want to win.
Yeah, there's $30 million. We don't have $30 million. Right now, you got nothing. I mean, you're going to have to work around
it. Don't the cap go up every year?
Yeah, but you're still at the bottom of the league in salary cap. Everybody else can outbid you. You're not playing the game right.
Got you. But listen.
All right, but hang on. So you're just – I got you. So these pointless games here, your point is, and it's fine, we can disagree, you think we should run it back next year? Raheem, Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, let's run it back.
I believe we can do a little reconstruction, but, okay, this is another thing. Let me just get this and then we can leave. With Terry, I believe Terry did have full control his first couple years. But the last 2 years, you see what he did with the defense. He seen the problem and he fixed it. Same thing I believe he can do with this offense. He's going to see the problem. Receivers, you feel me? We got to get a stable quarterback. If that's from the Cardinals right now, if we could get him just to hold, just to keep the quarterback position stable. I believe that Terry can fix it, man. Like we say, let Terry cook. If it's offseason, I believe he can fix it. Just my opinion.
Well, no, that's fine. I appreciate it, Tone. Thanks for the call.
Tone
believes that you run it back, we'll be okay. It's a season three thing like other coaches. And so that's a way to look at it, and that's fine. So there's a vote to run it back. David's with us. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
I sort of believe that Kirk Cousins is going to be the quarterback next year. I really do.
Yeah, it's just an expensive proposition because, as I explained to Tone, when you're looking at $57.5 million cap, you're really going to hamstring yourself in your ability. I know that they're going to free up some money because guys like Onyemata are not going to be back probably. But you'll free up some money, but you're going to put a lot of stock into that, which, by the way, I understand the concept here because there's nothing else out there to get. And again, there is one thing, David, that I have to tell everybody, which is you say, well, we can get Tyrod Taylor as a bridge quarterback. What if, because we don't know this, what if Michael Penix is not going to play at all?
Right. I think he's the best option, believe it or not.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks, David. I don't know what's going on with your phone out there. The question is, at $57.5 million, if you cut Kirk Cousins after June 1st, you're going to save about $25 million. You're still going to have a massive cap, about 32, but you'd save $25 million, which if you're not bringing some guys like Onyemata back, for example, you're going to free up some money to be able to go into free agency, but the question becomes, what do you do at quarterback? So there's a lot going on with that. The first question before, because that's not to a post-June 1 cut. Remember, guys, gals, the draft is until June, and free agency after. So you've got a lot of time in this offseason here. We'll find out about the health of Michael Penix. We'll find out about it. Because if Penix heals faster and they come out after the season and say, look, Michael's 100% now, he's going to be ready to go for OTAs, and you're looking at that. Now you go, okay, Penix is a starter. Then it becomes obvious that you're not bringing Kirk Cousins back because you're not going to have this whole angst thing going on. Plus, I remain totally committed and convinced that Arthur Blank is really – he is so angry at Kirk Cousins he can't see straight. The only reason that Kirk Cousins is playing is because Arthur Blank said to Kirk Cousins in that meeting, which they released, that we will decide what happens to you. You don't get to decide it. And so he's going to force Kirk Cousins to, I'm paying you. By God, you're going to earn this money because this is the guaranteed portion of it. Next year's not the guaranteed portion of it. And so, by God, you're going to earn this money. And so he paid him the $10 million roster bonus, and he's forcing him to play just because, he's going to control the situation and prove to Kirk Cousins that Kirk Cousins is not in charge of it. Set that aside, okay? So there's a little bit of a power play going on there. By the way, I support Mr. Blank entirely in that power play. But at the same time, if Penix is not going to be coming back, what do you do at quarterback? You can't draft one. You don't have a first round. I mean, you could. Is that really what you want to do with your round two pick? Do you want to take Diego Pavia in the sixth round? Is that what you want? You want Pavia in the sixth? I mean, they could take Diego Pavia in the sixth round. I mean, they could. See what happens. Roll the dice. You take a sixth round quarterback. It worked out for Tom Brady. And for those of you who don't remember Tom Brady playing at Michigan, I saw him play a few times. I'm watching the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, and I'm going, this Brady's pretty good. But for whatever reason, the NFL looked at him and said, he's slow-footed and things of that nature. And so he sat to the sixth round. You never know. Brock Purdy was the last player taken in the draft, and look at what Brock Purdy's been able to do at San Francisco. So you get the right coach in the right system. Maybe Diego Pavia can make some noise in the NFL. And he could be available in round six. And if he's not, you could get him. You may be able to get him as an undrafted free agent. because he ranks, he's one of those guys that ranks, you know, maybe you can get John Mateer in the sixth round. Because once you get past the top quarterbacks in this draft, guys, right, we all understand this. Once you get past the top four or five, of which Mateer and Pavi are not, those guys are going to fall way deep in the draft, or they're going to be undrafted free agents. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Yo. So I just read your tweet on the air there, your post there. Yo, mm-hmm. So I just did. Well, thanks for listening. Yeah, I just did. I went through it. And so I
you
said,
know, I always listen to you, John. Stop that, sir.
So anyway, you're in the camp of you think we're going to be okay, and we should run this back.
Not just that we're going to be okay and we should run parts of this team back, but we have to start addressing the real issues that were ignored by this team for the last 8 years. Like, I've said this once, and I'll have to say it again, obviously, today. When we were in the offseason and we knew that we were not going to be retaining our center, Dahlman, I said that we should possibly go ahead and draft a center right then and there. Everyone screamed at me, no, defense, defense, defense. Use every pick that you got on defense. Well, ultimately, we did that. Okay, and we have improved our defense, but we lost our defensive tackle and we didn't replace him. We do have Aurora and those guys, and they're really good, but they need somebody who's massive in there that they can play alongside, who can just be a true nose tackle. We are light in the butt at the point of attack on offense. We're light in the butt at the point of attack on defense. Okay, we have a lot of money tied up into a 6'3", 295-pound right guard and a 34-year-old aging veteran who has never missed a snap. But in those years that he's played, we lost 8 seasons of him. So it's not like we're talking about the top-tier talent in the NFL. We're talking about guys that we are loyal to because we love them because they've been on the team for a long time. And I think that that is our problem. It was just like the Falcons for Life thing that we did with Julio Jones, where it's like, nope, we're just going to keep this guy regardless of the outcome. Everybody else is the problem and not the guys playing the game. And this is why I say wide receiver 2 through 5 can all be gone at the beginning of the offseason. Trade them, get what you can, 5th round, 6th round, I don't care. They can go. Because the facts are, Kyle Pitts right now leads the team in receptions. The facts are.
Well, yeah, I mean, Drake really leads the team in receptions.
Yeah,
I mean,
Drake is our guy. We know that.
So let's talk. Yes, you're going to tag Kyle Pitts, and yes, you can dump all those guys that aren't Drake and Kyle and get a new receiving core. I don't disagree. But hang on, slow down. Those things, addressing the interior offensive and defensive line, addressing the wide receiver room, addressing corner. Those things only happen if you have the money to be able to do them. And if you keep Kirk Cousins, guess what? You got none of.
Right. And I'm totally cool with that. So now you said something.
So you're
earlier
not running
in the program.
Back. Because look, running back is
no,
real
no,
simple.
I'm not running back Kirk. Oh, yeah.
I mean, no. Let's be clear here what we're talking about here. If you retain Terry, you retain Raheem, and Michael Penix is not coming back, they're probably keeping Kirk Cousins because they ain't going to go out there and start the season with Tyrod Taylor. They're just not.
They don't have to. They have Kyle Trask. Listen, you asked a question earlier. Hold on. You asked a question earlier about who remembers you from your Charger days. Okay. I'm going to throw a name to you from the Chargers. Who was the only quarterback in Chargers history to lead them to a Super Bowl?
Stan Humphries.
Exactly. And all he did was hand off to a very good running back with a very great offensive line. We have a great running back. What we don't have is the ability to salt games away in the second half because we can't get enough push up front. So if you're asking Kyle Trask to hand off to Bijan and throw it over the middle to Kyle and throw it on the deep outs to London, he can do that. Anybody can do that. That is the basic job of a quarterback. So we're putting too much emphasis on what we don't have, and we're not concentrating on what we do have. We have the best running back in the NFL. It's like having Barry Sanders at his prime. Use it. Love you, John.
Right. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, Barry Sanders. How many Super Bowls did the Lions make with Barry Sanders? Hang on. I'm looking for a number of less. Hang on. It's like a 1980s pop rock hit. I'm looking for a number that's less than zero. Kyle Trask. Well, hear what Joe Patrick had to say. If you missed it earlier, we're going to replay Joe Patrick. And Joe and I actually had, for the first time ever, a small disagreement. I've been doing shows with Joe for years and years and years. I've never had a small disagreement with him. We actually had a small disagreement today. But that's okay. We can disagree. We weren't disagreeable. You know, it just we just had a disagreement. You'll hear it in the interview as we'll bring that back to you because you got to hear this. Do that next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Radio 92 on the Game. John Fricke with you on now a Sunday afternoon, a no Falcons Sunday afternoon. We do have NFL football for you. Chargers and Chiefs coming up. Bottom of the hour, we'll take you to Westwood One's coverage from Arrowhead Stadium. Going to be cold in Kansas City. Noel caught this. This song here, it wasn't less than zero. That was a movie. I was thinking about Saved by Zero, which is this song here, which was by a group called The Fix, double X, in about 40 years ago, some odd years ago. The Fix was one of those tech pop groups like, you know, Pet Shop Boys that had like three hits back in the early 80s. And it's so long ago, your memory fades. It's the first time I've heard the song probably since 1983 or so. So, you know, I mean, I remember one thing leads to another. That was also The Fix. Anyway, neither here nor there, just correcting the thing. The song was Saved by Zero. Do I know what that means? No, I don't know what that means. Hawks today, 5:30 against the 76ers. And again, the news for the Hawks is, came out yesterday, Trae Young coming back to practice later this week. So we'll see when he rejoins the team, and we'll kind of get a good look at the Hawks between now and then. So Trae's coming back from injury. Will Kristaps Porzingis come back from illness? I don't know, and I don't care at this point. I think he's just kind of out, you know. He's played half the games, doesn't seem to be too interested in being here, so I'm good with him just kind of going. I was really hoping he was going to be a big contributor to this team. To me, I think, you know, just from afar, it looks like he doesn't want to be here. So, okay, let's make that happen that he doesn't have to be. How about? So we'll see how this kind of affects the Hawks moving forward here with Trae in the lineup, and I'm going to be really interested to see Trae with this young team. You know, how does he work with, you know, you brought Walker in for a reason. You know, now you have that kind of combo guard there thing. Can he play off guard? You still have Kennard coming off the bench. You got Beat, you know, and things of that nature. So, not to mention, obviously, you know, Okongwu, Jalen, and Zach and Dyson. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this kind of all works its way in with Trae in the mix for the Atlanta. I hope it does. I hope it really works. I really do. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that it does. Braves are making offseason moves. And we'll see how they continue to make offseason moves like the move of Suarez. I think it's a move towards trying to get Walt Weiss a night shift. So I'm really good with it, and I want to see what other moves they make here as the hot stove league really begins to heat up. There's all that going on, and, of course, the Falcons. Now, I had a chance to talk to Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons insider, got the big podcast, Joe Patrick on Football. I talked to him about all things Falcons here. Want to bring that back for you right now so that you can hear kind of his insight and what he had to say about the current state of the team. Play it.
Not much, John. You know, just woke up late on a Sunday afternoon. Nice to not have the Falcons. Nice that they've already won, obviously, when they play earlier in the week. So nice little kind of mini bye for us here in the media as well.
So, Joe, the improbable win on Thursday night, we get on the laundry list of things that shouldn't have ever happened, including the win. I can't imagine, by the way, what the reaction was like in Tampa to have that happen. Mm. You know, the first team to ever blow a 14-point lead to a team that had more than 14 penalties and do it in the last 10 minutes in the way that they did it, because Tampa's view of this is that they just absolutely gagged and choked, which they did, by the way. But you look at this and what the Falcons were able to do without Drake, despite all the penalties and all the mistakes and shooting themselves in the foot 10,000 times, they didn't stop in the game, a game that they probably should have lost or could have quit on. And you know, I'll give them credit for this much. They rallied and fought through it. Somehow I still don't know how they won that game.
they played hard. And, you know, I didn't think that they didn't play hard last week either until, obviously, that kickoff return that Rashid Shaheed had for Seattle came against them, and that really feels like it took the wind out of their sails. But maybe it did help. I can always kind of roll my eyes whenever there's for example, like in the wake of the Seattle loss, when the, you know, the players and coaches say, you know, well, it's a good thing we play on Thursday because we can get this out of our mouths quickly. And maybe that there was, you know, some sense that that was the case in this one, because it felt like just, you know, the team had 3 days to kind of rush to prepare for this thing. And maybe that was the best thing for them. And they were certainly fired up, whether that was playing for Raheem Morris or their contracts or whatever other number you go down the laundry list for reasons why they should be, you know, playing hard out there. But they certainly were. And, you know, credit to Kirk Cousins for putting on a performance that was, you know, capable of allowing these guys to really, you know, get out there and play to their capabilities, obviously, with Kyle Pitts going off. I worry that he'll be almost a victim of his own success after this one, because people are like, where is this Kyle Pitts been? It's like, well, hold on, guys. This is like the fifth best game we've seen in NFL history from a tight end. So let's not act like this is something that can necessarily be replicated week to week. But I did think that, like, the attributes that he was showing was the kind of thing that you do want to see. And so that was great. But, you know, we're at the point now where, like, Bijan Robinson also just has, like, 175 all-purpose yards. And it's just kind of like, ho-hum, that's what you expect. And I guess that's what you typically happens with guys who lead the league in all-purpose yards, like he's on track to do. So it was kind of, you know, a case of the Falcons offense really showing what they can be. And to your point, credit to them for not getting their heads down too much when they did have all these penalties that was setting them back during the course of the game.
Of course, it's easy to play loose and free when you got nothing to play for. Just saying. Fair. I mean, yeah. You know, they didn't, you know, bottle up here because what's the diff? I mean, really? I mean, you win at 29-28, you lose 42-0. There's no, you've been eliminated. So it's easy to relax, yeah, and just kind of get into it. I mean, so
John, I almost wonder,
that's part of the frustrating part.
Yeah, I almost wonder if it's more of that for the coaches, honestly, and for Zach Robinson in particular, to not kind of feel the pressure, because it felt like the play calling was a lot better than what we've seen, just in terms of getting the most out of Kirk Cousins and what this offense is capable of. I've never felt like the players have been under, like, you know, pressure, and that's affected their performance. I feel like in some cases they just haven't been set up for success by the coaching staff in a number of ways. And I thought that, you know, this was a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, it happened too late. And that's kind of the thing that Falcons fans will be kicking themselves over about this game. And I'm sure the coaches as well.
Yeah, but much too late. That's the theme of the last 8 years. I mean, it's just an ongoing hamster wheel, Joe. I mean,
yeah.
So we got to break the cycle here, and I'm really afraid. And this is where we get into the false positives going into the off season here. I'm really afraid that the false positives are going to lead to more mistakes being made, and not evaluations. I know that there was a story that said, Joe, Arthur Blank will evaluate the coaches and the players at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah.
Isn't that like normal? Doesn't everybody do that? Or is that some kind of news that I've never heard of before in the history of the NFL? Mm-hmm. I mean, so anyway, neither here nor there, but it was just like, well, yeah. And so as they do the evaluations, the false positives, because – and I mentioned it in my opening statement there at the beginning of the show, is that you have people running around posting, Kirk Cousins should have been the starter all season long. Look how great he was. Did you forget who the starter was against Miami? Did you forget who the starter was against Seattle? Joe, am I wrong? Was that Kirk Cousins?
You know, so those were Kirk Cousins. You know, the game against Miami, he was inserted as the starter on Saturday or Friday or Saturday.
Oh,
I can't remember which one.
Joe,
late
stop.
In the week.
He was the starter of all of last year. It's not like he's walking into a new team. Come on. I mean, seriously.
Listen, no, but like when the game plan is put together at the beginning of the week, it is made with certain personnel in mind. When you're switching the quarterback, and it's notable in that game because they came out with the normal game plan. As that game evolved, they started getting more under center. They started doing more of the things that we've seen from Kirk Cousins. And I think it's notable that this team has actually entering this week, and I don't want to say it after this game, but it's probably going to go up after this. They were the third best EPA per pass team from under center, and that's basically after Kirk Cousins is inserted as the starter. John, I think that there is legitimate conversation to be had about the way that the team has handled the quarterback position in the wake of Kirk Cousins' injury that happened last year. Now, I think when they made the move last year, you could argue it was too late, but it was obviously worth doing at that point. Kirk Cousins was incapable of playing quarterback to the level that you needed. And frankly, they got much better quarterback play when they inserted Michael Penix for those last three games of the year. And Michael Penix gave them a chance to nearly reach the playoffs. I think that there's a conversation worth having over whether it was prudent for them at that point in time to say that Michael Penix is the starter going forward, including into next year, because I think that you can say what we saw from Kirk Cousins in that game on Thursday night, there were so many throws with anticipation and touch on the passes that was allowing guys like Kyle Pitts to run after the catch. And I think you can argue that, the injury, obviously, that he did not tell the team about last year was affecting him. But coming into this year, could you have created competition where, you proved in training camp who the better quarterback was and you were going to get the guy who was the winner of that competition? I think that's a perfectly valid conversation to have.
Okay, that's fair. Right. So, but doesn't it go to the point of the failure to do that is a failure, is a coaching failure. Coaching failure.
For sure. And I don't even know, honestly, when it comes to the starting quarterback, it is, we have to kind of identify Raheem Morris, obviously, as, he's the head coach, obviously a key decision maker in this. But is that even, organizational? Does that go up the chain? Is Terry Fontenot involved in that decision over who's going to be the quarterback going forward? Because, maybe they would have wanted to make that move with the idea that maybe they could have traded Kirk Cousins in the offseason and added to the roster, such and such. It's a complex, but yeah, that's my point, is that, you can argue that the quarterback position has kind of been mishandled in terms of who's playing that role. I don't think I don't think last year it was mishandled. Outside of that, they should have made the change sooner, but coming into this year was, in my opinion, a different story, and potentially there was more on the table for this team with Kirk Cousins as a starting quarterback.
Right, so how's this going to be mishandled now? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on you, but I got to ask, because you set it up. So what do you do now? Kirk Cousins, are you considering bringing Kirk Cousins back?
No. It's impossible. It's impossible because of his salary cap number. I think it's impossible because of because of the mistruths that were told, or the way I think the organization feels about, that Kirk Cousins was not honest with them last year, and whether, time has kind of healed that wound, I don't know, but it's really the contract, honestly, that is the non-starter here. They cannot bring him back for the number that he's on. And so that's what's kind of funny about this situation, is that they're going to ultimately need somebody to kind of be a bridge quarterback until they can get back to Michael Penix when he's back from that injury. Unfortunately, that bridge quarterback can't be Kirk Cousins, although even though he's going to end up being a bridge quarterback probably for somebody else. There are some different circumstances that make it so that it's not going to be him.
Kyle Pitts. Now, I see a lot of people saying, well, you can, because there's three things you could do with him, right? You can franchise tag him, you can transition tag him, and then there's different kinds of tags that you could put on him. One includes non-exclusive, which means that, nobody's going to touch him because nobody's going to give you two first-round picks for him. But, do you tag him? If you do tag him at $16 or so million as a tight end, does he go to arbitration seeking to be tagged as a wide receiver at $25 million? Because he may be able to argue, other tight ends have, especially guys like Kelsey and Gronk, who've argued that they're not tight ends, they're actually wide receivers. And now suddenly he's making catches and looking like, Godzilla out there with great hands over the middle and leaping into the end zone. Suddenly he's turned into this is why he's going to make so much money, because everybody, if you didn't see the potential for what you saw Thursday night, I don't know what you were paying attention. That's always been there. It took 5 years to get there.
Yeah. The tough running after the catch, too, just picking up all those yards, those yak yards, after a 5-yard stick route or something. Kyle really showed how valuable he can be to a team. I do wonder if one of the reasons he was obviously, and statistically, I'm sure this is obviously the case, but with Drake London out, is he even more valuable, or is he able to kind of showcase himself more when he's not got another, you know, great option that, that a quarterback can go to. I don't know. But, you know, as far as, like, his classification, I don't think he'll win that. You know, he might try to push for something like that if he is tagged, be tagged as a wide receiver price. But based on past precedent, I don't see that happening. I could see that kind of being something that the Players Association kind of deliberates about with regards to how the franchise tag is used as a mechanism going forward when they go into their future CBAs, because, you know, it is kind of like he's kind of getting classified under contracts that, like, Charlie Warner is also signed to, who has a totally different role. And that's just the weird thing about the tight end role. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, I think that the franchise tag is firmly an option on the table. You know, if he's allowed to go to free agency, the team would also likely pick up a compensatory draft pick based upon what Kyle signs for in free agency with somebody else. But, you know, he clearly would have a lot of value in this kind of offense, in this kind of role. And so if you can get that out of him, I think that it makes sense to keep him. And they, and to your point, like, the franchise tag obviously kind of keeps him under team control, at least for a little bit, so that you can either get that value out of him on the field or potentially even more than you would get in compensatory picks via a trade.
Yeah, and it'll be up to them to see, you know, what kind of tag they want to put on him. And, you know, because if they put a tag on him where other teams can still bid on him, which is the, you know, the non-exclusive, some people say, well, why wouldn't other teams want to, you know, beat that and force the Falcons to pay more money? Well, because the Falcons would just let him go and you get two first-round picks. And so I don't know. It's going to be just interesting. I guess my point is, without getting into kind of all the, you know, whys and wherefores of the different kinds of tags here, I think the Falcons are going to have no choice but to tag him.
Yeah, I think that we're probably headed toward that resolution as well, which is not really a resolution. It's a temporary resolution, but I think that's probably the case as well. It would be tough, especially if he continues to play well toward the end of the season. I think it would be tough as Falcons fans to just see him, you know, to allow him to basically walk away. And yeah, you get a compensatory pick or whatever, but you're not going to, you know, actually be the recipient of that for another year. And it would be tough to see him tear it up. I'm sure that's what every Falcons fan's worried about, seeing him, like, kill it for the Kansas City Chiefs or somebody
right,
like that.
Well, that's exactly the team, right? I mean, because, you know, if Kelsey's done, then yeah, that's exactly the team. So Joe, that leads to the bigger question here. False positives as it relates to the coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not enthused by, like, 19 penalties. I mean, I thought that the play calling from Zach Robinson was better, but that him coming back as a non-starter, it feels like that's completely untenable at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I think to get yourself hyped up about, you know, one win is as irrational as it is to kind of want the entire coaching staff fired after a particular, you know, after one loss that kind of randomly happened. So we got to wait to see this thing. But I know that, like, it feels like some people are worried and that it's an extent. And I guess I kind of understand why after having gone through the Dan Quinn thing, which I think Falcons fans obviously have on their minds and are kind of, that's like a cautious tale about what happens in these kinds of situations.
Well, give me your best guess right now, as we said. I mean, you could change your mind next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like about Raheem.
Yeah.
I think that they'll make a move. I think that they'll move on more likely with Raheem, but I don't know that for certain. That's just my pure guess. But I think both Raheem and Terry Fontenot, I would say it's greater than 50-50 for both of them individually. I don't know if both will happen ultimately, but I that's kind of where I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't know how much input Terry Fontenot had on Raheem Morris. If he had a lot, I don't know how you bring Fontenot back and trust him.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know the whole picture. Yeah, it's hard for we don't know all the information like the Falcons do internally.
Correct.
So
yeah, that's there. Joe Patrick, what's the podcast?
Joe Patrick on Football. Had a reaction show after Thursday night, and we'll have another one up tomorrow.
Joe Patrick on Football. You can catch it on any podcast platform if you want the insight from our Falcons insider. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will look forward to the remainder of the year.
All right. Thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it. Always fun.
To all of you who called in today to be a part of the program here, and it is, of course, something that we're going to be watching over the next few months here in regards to how the Falcons are going to handle, as we know, the postseason. Yeah, I know we have three games to go, and And the only game I really care about is the last game of the year. Go 2-0 against the Bagheads. That'd be a good thing. But the Cardinals game, the Rams game, I mean, I'll watch. But do I care? No, not really. I'm going to stand in the camp just to answer the question. I do not want Kirk Cousins to be back next year. I understand some do, and they may bring him back. I don't want him back. You lied to us. I'm sort of like Arthur Blank. You lied to me, and I don't really get over it. You lied twice. And on top of that, I just I think that I'm ready to move on from you. I'd like to have that extra it's only $25 million, but $25 million to this team is going to be a lot of money. The more cap room that you can, especially if you're going to tag Kyle Pitts, the more cap room you can create is going to be useful. This team does need help on the interior, both the offensive and defensive lines, and so I think you could use help in the secondary. I'd like to see Jesse Bates be back to Jesse Bates at some point, or is that ever going to happen? So I think there's other places you could use wide receiver room. There's other places you could use that money. As for quarterback, I don't know what they're going to do if Michael Penix isn't ready. And some have suggested that, you know, the one caller said, you know, Stan Humphries, you know, went to a Super Bowl. And I guess you could look back at it and say, you know, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. You know, Brad Johnson, who actually think Brad Johnson is actually a pretty good quarterback. But, you know, guys that were considered, you know, not to be great quarterback or not quarterback-led teams, right? I mean, they went to Super Bowls and, you know, I mean, some people said Joe Flacco, but again, I think Joe Flacco is a pretty good quarterback. But, yeah, you can win with a guy, and if you can find the right guy, you have enough weapons, especially if you get another wide receiver in the room. If you're keeping Kyle Pitts, you got Bijan Robinson, you know, maybe you go out and find, because you're probably going to lose Tyler Allgeier, I would think. I mean, you could tag him. You could. But really is... You also want to be fair to people, too, don't you? All right, my thanks to everybody. Enjoy your Sunday. I'll talk to you soon. Stand by for the Chargers and Chiefs next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.